10 a.m. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll speak to you next.
What do you read, my lord?
Words. Words.
Words.
Good morning. I'm Susan Hubert, and this is Bookworm on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, the show where I talk mainly about books that I have reviewed, I interview authors, and sometimes just talk about the books. But either way, this is a chance for you to find out more about what's available in the book world.
Generous support to CKUW 95.9 FM is provided by Diversity Food Services. Diversity is a social enterprise committed to a just and fair food economy in Winnipeg. Elements Restaurant at 501 Portage Avenue is a proud part of Diversity Food Services family, a full-service, licensed sit-down restaurant with easy access right off of Portage Avenue.
You're tuned to CKUW 95.9 FM, Winnipeg Radio, made possible by generous listener support.
Good morning, and welcome to Bookworm for Tuesday, January 13th, 2026. I hope you're having a good week so far. I'm looking after a dog right now, so that's always fun. So, today I'll be talking about two books as usual, and I hope you'll enjoy that. But first, maybe I'll talk a little bit about the news. So in local news, according to CTV, members of the Canadian military began arriving yesterday in Pimichikamak First Nation near Cross Lake, north of Lake Winnipeg, to help with the results of a power outage lasting several days. About 4,000 people were evacuated from the community when the power went out. Although power has now been restored, residents are experiencing severe water issues, including flooding and backed up sewage, as well as other problems. Volunteer plumbers and other workers have already arrived in the community, where the cleanup and restoration will likely take about 2 weeks. Then in international news, according to Huffington Post, at least 544 people have been killed in a crackdown on protests in Iran, according to local activists. Meanwhile, the Iranian government has warned of potential retaliation if the U.S. military or Israel intervene to protect the protesters. The human rights activist news agency has reported that another 10,600 people have been detained in connection with the protests. So that's today's local and international news. Then in weather, according to the weather from the Winnipeg-Richardson International Airport, it's currently 2 degrees and raining, and the forecast for today, Tuesday, January 13th, is 0 degrees with a 60% chance of flurries or rain showers. Then tonight, minus 23 with a few clouds, so it's really getting cold tonight. Then over Wednesday, January 14th, minus 14 degrees and sunny. Then overnight, minus 10 degrees with a 40% chance of flurries. For Thursday, January 15th, 0 degrees with rain or snow. Then overnight, minus 13 degrees with periods of snow and blowing snow. For Friday, January 16th, minus 12 degrees with periods of snow. Then overnight, minus 21 degrees and clear. For Saturday, January 17th, minus 16 degrees and sunny. And then overnight, minus 17 degrees with cloudy periods. And then in events, it's time for CQW's event guide. From concert and club listings to community announcements, we help you keep in touch with what's going on in Winnipeg. So here's one that I've mentioned quite often before. The 2026 Stars on Ice Tour is set to celebrate Canadian Olympic figure skating at Canada Life Centre on May 6th. And that's Canada's top Olympic hopefuls join icon Elvis Doiko for a must-see tour directed by Kurt Browning. And tickets went on sale in November, but you can always check to see at Ticketmaster if there are any left at the moment. And for those who bought tickets, remember to mark your calendars for May 6th. Then There's Community 204 Walks. Join us every Friday at 5:30 p.m. Meet at 605 Main Street. And some of the items needed are water bottles, snacks, and sandwiches. And you can go for as long as short a time as you want, but it's a good opportunity to see what life is like for people in the area where you walk and meet people on the street and be able to interact with them. So that's every Friday at 5:30 p.m. Meet at 605 Main Street. That's Community 204 Walks. So those are a few of the events listed in the guide. If you'd like to have your event listed as well, please drop by CQUW, email us at CQUW@uwinnipeg.ca or call 204-786-9782. So now maybe I'll play a little bit of music before I get into talking about books. And so this is from an album by Zoltán Kodály. And this is Concerto for Orchestra. This piece is The Peacock from Variations on a Hungarian Folk Song from Concerto for Orchestra. So I hope you'll enjoy it. So welcome back. That was Zoltán Kodály, Concerto for Orchestra, and that piece was The Peacock from Variations on a Hungarian Folk Song. So I kind of changed the order of the way I usually do things, since I talk about one book and then I play a little bit of music and then talk about the second book, but might as well do something a little bit different today. So this book is called The Girl from the Channel Islands by Jenny Lecote. And that's Graydon House, and it's 304 pages. A German officer and a young Jewish woman falling in love in Nazi-occupied Jersey or a frivolous, movie-obsessed new bride risking her life to hide her husband's friend are not the usual elements of that people would expect from a Second World War story. Yet in The Girl from the Channel Islands, Jenny Lecote has used unexpected twists like this to tell the compelling true story of a small group of friends trying to survive in difficult and often dangerous situations. Lecote is an experienced writer and filmmaker with a strong connection to the Channel Islands and to the history behind this story. Another Mother's Son is her 2017 feature film telling her family's experiences during the occupation. In addition to her historical work, she has written feature articles for newspapers and magazines. The Girl from the Channel Islands is her first novel. The novel tells the true story, of course somewhat fictionalized, of Hedwig, or Heidi, Berku Goldberg, a young Jewish woman who fled from the Nazis in Vienna, only to come under German occupation again in the Channel Islands between Britain and France. There she comes to know Anton, another migrant to Jersey, whose girlfriend Dorothea appears to Heidi to be a frivolous person with little more on her mind than movie stars. Still, Dorothea turns out to have unexpected depths of character, helping Heidi to find a job and later hiding her from the Nazis. Unexpected twists run through this book. Dorothea, as I mentioned, displays hidden bravery, while Heidi begins her own small resistance movement in stealing gasoline coupons to give to a local doctor. At one point, her German officer friend goes to prison rather than giving Heidi up for the coupon campaign. When she fakes her own death and goes into hiding, he is ready to risk his own life to assist her. The Girl from the Channel Islands is an engaging, if somewhat disturbing, story of how the people of Jersey survived the Second World War with little help from the British government, since the Channel Islands were a British possession. The basic outlines of the Berku Goldberg story are accurate, but the author has chosen the historical novel format to give the story a vibrancy which might otherwise be missing, since without the ability to relate conversations that aren't necessarily recorded in history, it would be kind of dry, possibly, or it would be a different kind of book. It could be very interesting still, but not quite the same. So, this choice to write a historical novel allows Lecote the freedom to fill in many interesting details. Her description of how Heidi copes with the food shortages and daily dangers of life, the account of the growing attraction between her and Kurt, the German officer, and even the characterizations of various government officials all make the account more compelling than a more traditional biography could accomplish. While the Holocaust is the background to the story, the author has included only a few hints of the events taking place in Germany and elsewhere in Europe. Instead, Lecote has chosen to focus on the daily struggle for survival that her characters face. It is only near the end of the book that even the characters themselves understand exactly what their occupiers have been doing. The Girl from the Channel Islands is a well-written story that many people would enjoy. While a few scenes might make parents uncomfortable about allowing teenagers to read it, the story is otherwise accessible to people of various ages and interests. So it's a good book if you'd like to read something about that brings the era of the occupation and the Channel Islands alive. So that's The Girl from the Channel Islands, and that's by Jenny Lecote, and that's published by Graydon Books, and it's 304 pages. And then the second book I want to talk about is A Spy in the Family, A True Story of Espionage and Betrayal by Paul Henderson and David Gardner. That's HarperCollins Publishers Limited, and it's 297 pages. Imagine discovering that the man claiming to be your long-lost son is no relation at all, but is instead a foreign spy. In A Spy in the Family, A True Story of Espionage and Betrayal, Paul Henderson and David Gardner give a fascinating account of Vaclav Jelinek, a spy from the former Czechoslovakia, whose life intersected with a Dutch mother's quest to find the son that she had had to give up many years before. Johanna van Haarlem was young and unmarried when she became pregnant by a German officer in the Netherlands in 1944. Her father was friendly with the Nazi invaders, but he refused to accept the half-German baby into the family. So Johanna reluctantly left the child at a Czech orphanage, hoping that they would soon be reunited. Years later, after her father had died, Johanna heard that the Red Cross had located her son. Although the man calling himself Erwin van Haarlem had brown eyes rather than the blue that she remembered, she accepted him as the son that she had not seen in decades. For the next 10 years, Johanna treated the man, calling himself Erwin, as a treasured member of the family, showering him with gifts and attention. Meanwhile, as a spy codenamed Gregart, the man acting as the sleeper, tried to blend in with the locals in the Netherlands while searching for information on nuclear weapons and even the British royal family. I guess they had moved to Britain by then. For 10 years he lived a double life, receiving gifts from Johanna while trying to keep his own identity and mission a secret. Eventually, however, the false Erwin van Haarlem became overconfident of his skills and frustrated with playing the part of Johanna's son. He became careless, and MI5 agents investigating the case finally identified him as the Czech man named Václav Jelinek, whose parents still lived in the village where he had been born. The spy was arrested, tried, and convicted of espionage. Johanna, although devastated by the news that she had spent so much time and effort on an imposter, was still determined to find her real son. She discovered that the boy had been adopted by a caring family and had lived a happy and stable life. Soon the two contacted each other, and Johanna could finally have the reunion that she had wanted. While the imposter was deported to his home country in shame following his incarceration, Johanna had the satisfaction of having fulfilled her life's goal. A Spy in the Family is a well-written and compelling story of Cold War espionage and its effects on ordinary people. Although the author's use of all three spies' names can be confusing at times, this tactic helps to emphasize the many facets of the fraud. So sometimes they call him Erwin van Haarlem, sometimes Jelinek, sometimes by his code name. So in general, A Spy in the Family, a true story of espionage and betrayal, is well worth reading for fans of historical works and spy stories. Then a little bit of a biography of the two authors. Paul Henderson is an investigative journalist who received the London Press Club Sunday Newspaper of the Year Award in 2018 for his work as an editor of the Sunday Mirror and Sunday People. He has also been commended at the British Press Awards for his reports from China, Albania, and Libya. David Gardner is currently the chief national correspondent for the Daily Beast in Washington, D.C. He has worked for the Daily Mail as a crime writer and a senior foreign correspondent. So that's A Spy in the Family, a true story of espionage and betrayal by Paul Henderson and David Gardner. That's HarperCollins Publishers Limited, and it's 297 pages. And then the other one was called The Girl from the Channel Islands by Jenny LeCote, published by Graydon Books, and it's 304 pages. But the story goes very quickly, so you shouldn't be put off by 304 pages. So both of these books have a lot in common in many ways, but they... But I guess they're both dealing to some extent dealing with deception, and actually to a large extent dealing with deception, but also whereas in The Girl in the Channel Islands, the deception is for a good purpose, in A Spy in the Family, it isn't. So, or at least not from the British perspective. So these two books are both quite easy to read and very interesting. So if you'd like to find out more about the time, I guess, the time between the wars for the girl from the Channel Islands, A Spy in the Family, or the time during the war, and The Girl from the Channel Islands, these are two very good books to look for and to read. So now coming up next in about 10 minutes is Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, but maybe I'll play a little bit more music now. So this is a little bit more of Kodály Concerto for Orchestra, and it's variations on a Hungarian folk song, and this is Variation 1. So I hope you enjoy it. Welcome back. That was Variation 1 from Variations on a Hungarian Folk Song from Concerto for Orchestra by Zoltán Kodály. So before the break, I was talking about two historical fiction books, both based on true stories, but the first one was The Girl from the Channel Islands by Jenny Lecote. And that was about a Jewish woman who was hidden during the Second World War when the Nazis occupied the Channel Islands between Britain and France. And the second one was A Spy in the Family, a true story of espionage and betrayal by Paul Henderson and David Gardner. And that was about a Czech spy from Czechoslovakia, as it was then, who managed to, well, I guess to fool the people from the Red Cross about his identity and to claim to be the son of a certain Jewish woman who had had a baby years before. But then eventually he was found out, and the woman, Johanna van Haarlem, found the real son and managed to connect with him. So these books are, even though they're fiction, they have a lot of important ideas in them and a lot of very vital ways of considering life and what happens to people when there are crises and they have to deal with the problems in their lives. And I guess one thing in A Spy in the Family is also the idea that Johanna's father was a little bit of a collaborator with the Nazis. He didn't turn people in, as far as I remember from the book, but he would entertain Nazi soldiers in his house. And yet when his daughter became pregnant by a Nazi soldier, he was horrified or devastated. And then he turned on her and made her do something that caused problems for years to come. So then it's maybe a little bit of a lesson as well about what kinds of things people come up with and how they deal with the crises in life. So I've found that, well, there are a lot of badly written books, but even some of them have some very important principles behind them, and so So basically, don't be afraid of thinking of fiction as a learning experience, because, of course, you never know until you read it whether it's going to be light and frivolous or not. But even the lightest and most frivolous of books can teach something about society and about what some of the issues in life are. Like right now, I'm reading a book by P.G. Wodehouse, who definitely was not the most serious writer. But even there, it's kind of a spoof of upper-class British society. And so it can help us maybe to look at our society and think of the people who have lots of money and can basically do what they want, and whether that's really a good thing or not, and how people can become, or how they can deal with the issues that come up. And, well, it's basically as I mentioned, a spoof of what the British aristocracy and upper class was like in the 1920s, but it's very much exaggerated as well. But still, we can see some of that in our society as well. So then it's maybe an important thing to look at, maybe not necessarily to stop listening to the people like that, but to analyze which parts of society we should take seriously and which ones we should maybe not take quite as seriously, or how we deal with the people around us and what we do with our lives. So if you read literature, there are various things that you can get out of it and various things that you can learn from it, even if it's not terribly profound. So then next week I'll have some more books to talk about, but I hope you enjoyed today's show. And coming up next is Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. So I hope you'll stay tuned for that, and thanks for listening. Have a great week.
What do you read, my lord?
Words. Words.
Words.
This is the end of Bookworm on CQW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg for today, and I hope that you have been inspired to pick up a new book to read. Be sure to tune in next week for more discussions about books, and thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Derek.
This is Aleem
from Eat Your Arts and Vegetables at CKUW 95.9 FM, the Art Talk radio show.
Tune in every Thursday at 5:30 to get your weekly arts update.
Check out our blog at eatyourartsandvegetables.blogspot.com.
With your CKUW Friends Card, you are supporting CKUW 95.9 FM and our friends in the community. 100% of your donations go to the general operations at CKUW 95.9 FM. And with a Friends Card, your dollars get you more at
King Cod Market Pub at 580 Ellis Avenue, your local arts and craft beer pub. With a rotating selection of local beer, art, music, and Southern-inspired pub eats, your 10% discount on all food and selected taps makes this West End neighborhood pub an ideal place to start and or even be your next night out. Be sure to check out the Bella Vista Nights every Wednesday for free live music, sponsored by CKUW 95.9 FM. Fiercely local.
Join CKUW's community of support by donating $35 during Fun Drive in February to get a Friends Card and get access to more deals around Winnipeg.
CKUW 95.9, Winnipeg.
Support of CKUW is provided by the Western Cultural Center. Did you know that we now offer season passes for our fall and spring season? It's a great deal. To reflect the city we're in, we program music from anywhere in the world and in any language, because we want everyone to feel welcome at the WEC and in Winnipeg.